This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Collider says BritBox has TV everyone should be watching. Stream acclaimed series with powerful performances from Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, Bella Ramsey and Matthew McFadyen. Discover new BritBox original series you won't find anywhere else. Like Three Little Birds, Agatha Christie's Murder is Easy, and a new chapter of BAFTA-winning drama, Time. Stream what the New York Times calls the best of British telly, only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hi, this is Jane Garvey, and this is the Woman's Hour Parenting Podcast. This week, it's on the subject of ketamine and ketamine use by Britain's teenagers. The latest government crime survey for England and Wales reports that ketamine is indeed an increasingly popular drug for teenagers. The proportion of 16 to 24-year-olds using it rose in 2017 to 18 from 1.2 to 3.1%. That's the highest figure since records began in 2006-07. I talked to Lauren Moss, who's BBC South East Social Affairs and Education correspondent. She has been investigating the drug for the BBC. Wendy Teasdale joined us. Her 18-year-old daughter, Eleanor, had died after taking the drug in combination with alcohol at a festival. And we also talked to Professor Celia Morgan, who is a professor of psychopharmacology at Exeter University. I asked Celia what ketamine is.
Ketamine's a type of drug known as a dissociative anaesthetic. So it was originally developed as an anaesthetic drug. And the drug company that developed it were at first really impressed by the fact it's got very strong analgesic effects. And unlike any other anaesthetics, it doesn't slow your breathing and your heart rate. But with increasing clinical experience with ketamine, people noticed that people were coming round from ketamine anaesthesia reporting a lot of out-of-body experiences, hallucinations, and thus limited the widespread clinical use of the drug, although it's still used today in developing countries in anaesthesia and in chronic pain.
When did you first become aware of it as a recreational drug, so-called?
So the first reports came out, so ketamine was developed back in the 60s, and there were reports early as the 70s, but it was very, very minor levels of use, and amongst medical professionals initially who'd heard about the drug through its clinical use. But then in the UK, I think its use first emerged in the 90s, and to start with, it was used as an adulterant in ecstasy tablets at raves. So people used to cut ecstasy tablets with it. And ketamine had the kind of reputation nobody wanted to take ketamine. Some people stopped doing ecstasy tablets because they were worried about them being cut with ketamine. But something changed, I think, in the early 2000s. People started to use the drug on its own. But again, it was very confined to subcultures, so particularly the gay scene and travellers sort of cultures. Then its use became a bit more widespread. At that stage, it was controlled under the Medicines Act, which controls drugs for medical use, but it wasn't under the Misuse of Drugs Act. But in 2006, the government classified it as a Class C substance at first, and that had a kind of an opposite effect, as I think they hoped for, and use increased. So people perhaps heard about the drug more being an illicit substance.
Yeah, it is now a Class B drug, isn't it?
That changed in 2014, and the use initially dropped off a bit. So as the supply routes, they dried up after it becoming a Class B substance. But over the past couple of years, its use seems to have increased dramatically in the UK.
Wendy, can you take us through what happened to your daughter? She was at a music festival, which so many teenagers go.
Mm. Yes, she was at Boomtown Festival working for Oxfam as a steward. She'd done her first shift with her friend. And they were walking around. She had a can of lager and they saw the fairground and decided they'd like to go on, I don't know, whirly things. And went back to the tent, first of all, to take some ketamine. Now, knowing what I now know about ketamine, I realise she can't have known an awful lot about it, because to go on a fairground after taking, you know, fairground ride after taking ketamine seems a strange choice, because it's, as Celia said, it's dissociative. And actually, they took the ketamine and you lose, depends how much you take, I suppose, but she lost the use of her limbs. She lay down. She never woke up. That was what happened. She died in some dissociative, happy state, I suppose, leaving us all in confusion.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I mean, this is absolutely appalling, obviously, for you and for the rest of your family. I gather, though, the message you're keen to impart is that you shouldn't, no parent can afford to be complacent here and just think, oh, well, that my child wouldn't do that.
Absolutely. I had no idea. She was always such an open person as well. I could talk to her about pretty well anything. We always did. We've always had very open discussions in our family around the kitchen table about anything. And it was, in fact, it turns out, the third time she'd taken it. She wasn't a habitual user. One key component was that she had it in conjunction with the alcohol, which she consumed already. That was an unknown factor. I didn't know anything about ketamine. I could never have imagined my daughter would take ketamine. To me, that was just a really stupid thing to do. But apparently not. It's a normal thing. So, yes, it was a shock, a real shock, and I thought I knew my daughter, but all children or any young people, not, you know, young people from 14 upwards, we're hearing, are liable to do things and they don't want to tell their parents, of course.
And Lauren, you, I know, bought ketamine. You were able to buy it. Was it in any way difficult to get hold of?
No, not at all. And I think that's the worrying thing about this, especially how accessible it is. I've spoken to young people who've told me they're using it increasingly at parties, recreationally, and the effects last for about an hour. So it's very difficult for people to know that someone is using it. And they told me that they're buying it on the dark net, which is sort of a backdoor access into the internet that we don't see, that we don't use on a regular basis. And once you're shown how to do that, and it is quite easy to do, I was shown, and I had discussions with BBC legal teams and editorial teams and so on to get permission to do this. For £10, I was able to buy some ketamine. It was delivered to me in the post, virtually untraceable. And I was also sent a handful of tablets, which I didn't order. And I took all of this to be tested in a laboratory in London. And they told me that, in fact, it was ketamine, like I had ordered. I had also been sent some Class A MDMA or ecstasy tablets as well, sort of as a bonus or an incentive, really, to use that dealer. And it's, you know, it's staggeringly worrying. People don't know what they're taking.
Very briefly, Celia, if you can, let's be clear about this. It's a Class B drug. It is illegal. But Celia, if you're the parent of perhaps somebody who's going to their first festival this summer or about to go to uni, what is the practical advice about ketamine use?
Well, I think so. Perhaps the most important thing is that if you're going to take ketamine, you have someone with you who's not taking it, because the drug's so dissociative. It renders you really vulnerable to accidents or things like sexual assault. The key advice with any drug, I think, is to take a very, very small amount. And people who use other recreational drugs like cocaine often take a similar amount of ketamine, but ketamine is much, much stronger. So just urge them to take a much smaller amount than they would of any other recreational drug. Don't do things like lock yourself in a toilet cubicle, because if you do become completely dissociated and lose consciousness, then no one will be able to help you. And I think those are the key things. And obviously don't drink alcohol.
No.
Or eat beforehand, because you'll be much more likely to vomit.
That is practical advice, Celia. But I think some parents would prefer us simply to say that the only advice worth giving teenagers is don't take drugs. And aren't they right? Don't they have a point?
Well, they have a point in some ways. In an ideal world, our kids wouldn't take drugs or drink alcohol. But we know the evidence out there is that they are taking it. And so I think it's really important we give them some harm reduction advice if they do find themselves taking it in these situations.
The issue, as I understand it, is, and you did mention this during the course of the earlier conversation, that actually a kid could take ketamine at, say, 9 o'clock at night and then go home at midnight, and there would be no effects obvious. So yeah. How do parents know?
Well, it's quite difficult to tell. Yes, because it's got such short-lived effects. It only lasts for about an hour. I mean, it's signs to spot, really, when children are developing a problem with drugs, then becoming withdrawn and irritable. And this is across all drugs, not just ketamine. I think if you see someone on ketamine, it can be very disturbing for parents because they seem, because it's a dissociative drug, they seem completely separate from their environment. They seem like zombies in some cases. They don't seem like normal people at all, and it's very distressing for parents. So, but in other signs to spot if they're developing a ketamine addiction would be if they're developing any cystitis problems. So ketamine's quite unusual amongst all drugs in that it's associated with something called ketamine-induced ulcerative cystitis, where we've done studies that have shown that ketamine actually has a toxic effect on the lining of the bladder. And so even when people are using ketamine recreationally, it will make them want to go to the toilet more. As they start to become addicted to the drug, they'll develop really severe bladder problems that can culminate in them needing to have their bladders removed. I've worked with some ketamine addicts as young as 16 or 18 who've had to have their bladders removed, and this is horrendous for young people because it means you're infertile and you have to wear a colostomy bag for the rest of your life. So really, really serious consequences from taking the drug.
That is extraordinary, and if that doesn't concentrate the minds of people, but do you think that that very important public health message is given out clearly and frequently enough?
About the ketamine-induced bladder, yeah. I mean, I think that ketamine use dropped off around the time 2014 where the drug's legal status changed. And in part, I think that was because we were trying to put this message out a lot, but maybe it's dropped off now. So, yeah, really important to remind your children about that, because amongst recreational drugs, there aren't any other ones. Things like MDMA and cocaine don't have these really extreme physical effects on your body that are irreversible in some cases. So it does kind of distinguish ketamine and the fact that it's very addictive. Cocaine is addictive, but MDMA is not so much associated with an addictive pattern of effects. So,
and also,
it is very different.
We should be very clear. Lauren, our correspondent that we spoke to, made it clear that she'd had no trouble getting hold of ketamine. It is widely available and it is cheap. And it's all over the UK, or is its use concentrated in certain cities?
No, I think it's really pretty widespread. It's found in rural areas. We've had reports of kids in schools taking ketamine in their lunch breaks. So it's really widespread, and it's cheap as well compared to other recreational drugs. And I think that might be in part responsible, in very pragmatic terms, when we're talking to users, for its spike in use. That in that its effects are short-lived, and it actually reduces anxiety acutely, unlike some other drugs. And we know anxiety is a huge problem amongst young people today.
So to be clear, it decreases anxiety in the short term. Can it make you feel more anxious when its effects wear off?
Yeah, like any recreational drug or even alcohol, things that reduce anxiety acutely will then have a rebound effect when their effects wear off, yes. So that's why a sign might be your teenager's becoming irritable and potentially withdrawn.
OK, that's really helpful, Celia. Thank you very much indeed for your time. Thank you very much, Celia. Celia Morgan, Professor of Psychopharmacology at Exeter University. And that's the Parenting Podcast for this week. If there's anything you'd like us to cover in this particular Woman's Hour podcast, make sure you tell us via the website bbc.co.uk/womanshour.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Collider says BritBox has TV everyone should be watching. Stream acclaimed series with powerful performances from Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, Bella Ramsey and Matthew McFadyen. Discover new BritBox original series you won't find anywhere else. Like Three Little Birds, Agatha Christie's Murder is Easy and a new chapter of BAFTA-winning drama, Time. Stream what the New York Times calls the best of British telly, only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.